Bob and Charlene Steinkamp, founders of Rejoice Marriage Ministries, invite you into their living room in Pompano Beach, Florida, for a telephone conference call. Let's join other men and women from across the land who are seeking God's restoration of their marriage.
We welcome you to our home on a Sunday afternoon. 86 degrees in South Florida today. And Charlene, I'm waiting for January or February when we can give the temperature a big 70 or 80, and they can just cry their heart out and look out at the snow.
Right.
But we're glad to have you guys here, and we're going to be expecting more people all afternoon. Charlene's lined up three neat guests today. We have Martina from North Carolina, Chris from Wisconsin, where it'll be really cold someday.
It will.
Ben from Texas. And you'll get to know more about them as the afternoon progresses. And on our end here at our home, we have two of our prayer partners from Monday night, Eddie, who many of you have heard about, and Beverly. And they've both come to be in the background just to pray for this afternoon. And we have our granddaughter, Allison, who's the go-between, to run between Charlene and I to carry notes back and forth all afternoon. And we're just thrilled that you've given up your time to be with us. And we just thank God that he's made it possible for us to do this. And we're thankful the ministry can just pay the money for the 800 charge, and our senders don't have to worry about unlimited budgets of how they're going to pay, or they can only listen for a few minutes. They can listen for the entire time and not worry about the bill. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll turn it over to my wife and let her do the official introduction. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for what you're doing in the lives of each of the people here with us today and the lives of each person who will be listening. But God, we also thank you for what you're doing in the life of their spouse that we would call a prodigal with love, but call him a prodigal, call her a prodigal. God, thank you for these people. May you bless them for giving up their time, for sharing with others, and for being encouraged. God, we don't know what you want out of this afternoon, but we just give it to you, that your will be done, and may marriages be restored because of what's said and done this afternoon, not for the glory of Rejoice Marriage Ministries, but for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're thrilled to have everybody coming in, tuning in, and calling in, and we just feel like you're in our living room. We've got our house open to you in South Florida, and we are so committed to doing this at least monthly. We have heard such great reports about it and so many positive comments about it, and we're ministering to so many, many more people than on a third Monday night here locally that we just know that we're supposed to do this, and it's just been blessed and honored, and the Lord has provided the monies for it, so we give God the praise and the glory.
Let me jump in once more before we start officially. If you want to listen to any of the past calls, you can go to the bottom of our homepage, to the bottom, rejoiceministries.org, and in the links at the very bottom, you'll see conference calls. And in this past month, we put all of those online so that you can listen to the entire call. And this one, give us a few hours this evening or else tomorrow morning early. And this one will be on there with us. So if you have to leave early and you to go to church and you wonder what you're going to miss, you can find out tomorrow.
You won't miss anything. But we're just thrilled to have everybody here today. And we know that there are all different types, ages, and people. We're not only just praying for husbands and wives that have become prodigals, but many of you have children that have become prodigals in your home right now while rebelling because of the marriage problems that you're going through. And we understand that. We know we have people that we have recently had a child run away. We know the pain and the drugs.
Clarify a little bit. We didn't have a child run away.
Oh, okay, Bob.
I'm sorry.
We had one of our standards children run away.
That's going to start a rumor if you don't.
But my husband and I have to, it's a team effort on this thing. But we know the pain and the suffering that all of you are going to go through and the consequences of what divorce does. And children are really the victim of divorce. And we just give God the praise and the glory of what you're going through that God is sufficient. The answer for everything right now, today, is Jesus is the answer. And the most important thing you can do is open up the Word of God, get on your knees, cry out to the Lord, and ask Him for every answer and question you have, because God does speak. If there's anything that you can remember from Bob and Charlene, it's God does speak over and over again. And I wanted to, I can never say that enough, and I know that everybody that's ever heard me talk or met with me personally, I didn't believe that when I was going through my marriage problems. I didn't think God could speak to me, and I listened and took surveys. But to start today, I want to read from somebody that has sent us a testimony for next week already from the United Kingdom. And she reads, let me read this. It says, I guess this is a testimony of God and how He speaks through His Word. I was asking God several questions. How much longer do I have to stand? Is your word really the truth? Can my unbelieving husband be saved? I arrived back home from my drive from work and had been listening to Bob and Charlene's testimony on CD. I randomly opened my Bible, and this is what God showed me in Job 36, chapter 36, verse 2 to 12, which is what I'm going to open up with today. In Job chapter 36, starting with verse 2, it says, bear with me a little longer, and I will show you that there is more to be said in God's behalf. I get my knowledge from afar. I will ascribe justice to my Maker. Be assured that my words are not false. One perfect in knowledge is with you. God is mighty, but does not despise men. He is mighty and firm in His purpose. He does not keep the wicked alive, but gives the afflicted their rights. He does not take His eyes off the righteous. He enthrones them with kings and exalts them forever. But if men are bound in chains, held fast by cords of affliction, He tells them what they have done, that they've sinned arrogantly. He makes them listen to correction and commands them to repent of their evil. If they obey and serve Him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in contentment. But if they do not listen, they will perish by the sword and die without knowledge. Now that's just one scripture that God gave this special person. God is good because all three questions I asked were answered in one scripture passage. Imagine the impact when I read, bear with me a little longer and I will show you. And she says, this is what I pray for all the standers. So anyway, that comes from the United Kingdom where God really just spoke to her. But I must tell you, God knows your problem. And we've got parents that are standing for their children, for their marriages. And we are just thrilled to have Chris here from Wisconsin. And we're thrilled to have her. And Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself and about your children, and how you come to know the Lord, and how you got to standing, how you briefly found the Holy Spirit tell you, or the Lord, or how you found what you're supposed to do for praying for your husband.
Okay, well, I am the mom of two kids. I have a daughter who has started her sophomore year in college, and a son who is a junior in high school, and just had my 21st wedding anniversary this week. My prodigal and I are, legally, on paper, divorced, and have been for a little bit more than a year, although we have not lived in the same household since, early 2006. And I came to, I'm kind of one of those people who would say I don't remember a time in my life that I didn't, know the Lord, didn't know Jesus, grew up attending church and involved in activities, but spent a whole bunch of years in the middle being a thoroughly carnal Christian, and have said since the difficulties that came up with my marriage that I believe that God was speaking all along, but I was not listening particularly well, and I think that He had to get my attention by sort of touching me in the place that mattered the most. And I don't say that in like it was a punishment kind of thing, although there was certainly correction on his part, but it was certainly about, I think there were other ways that he had attempted in the past and I had not been open to that. So so the last 4 years, 3.5 years, have been much of a journey of him drawing me close to him, which
and
has been incredible.
That is praise of that you will never, never forget the rest
exactly.
of your
life. Exactly. It's been an awesome experience. So
I never regret what the Lord had to bring me through to get me to where I was, where you are right now. I understand totally.
Yeah,
I think a lot of other
it.
People.
Yeah, you feel like, I just told a friend this afternoon who I'm encouraging in her stand that if I were to be given the opportunity to rewind the clock and go back to that day where I clearly knew that my marriage was in trouble, I would not be able to go back to that spot because of how far the Lord has brought me in my own personal walk to Him, and I would have to give up way too many things with Him in order to go back to that spot. So.
Amen.
And then in terms of standing, that was simply, I'm another one of those people who would say, I stood long before I had a word for it. I just knew right from the very first day that divorce was not the answer. And when I look back over the last 4 years, how many times God has put exactly the right resource in my hands to encourage me and to...
Right journey.
Yeah, exactly. So it's so and then I don't remember went back in my journals I could find it, but at the point in time that I first came to Rejoice Ministries and knew then actually had a word for that which I had been doing for probably 2 years before then.
They always do.
Yeah.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. And Martina, you came from North Carolina, and you came down here and celebrated your birthday a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and we're glad to have you with us.
Thank you.
And I know what you look like, so that helps. I get to meet some of these standards every once in a while. Bob and I are thrilled to have people come down and visit us, and Martina came for her birthday to celebrate it. So, Martina, we're glad to have you, and you're a newlywed.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell us a little bit about you.
Okay. My name is Martina. I'm from North Carolina. Happy anniversary, Chris.
Thank you. Happy birthday.
Thank you. I, too, just celebrated anniversary. September 4th was our four-year anniversary. As Ms. Charlena said, I am a newlywed. I have known the Lord since I was 14 years old. I got saved, and the Lord has been doing loops and just doing some wonderful things in my life since then. I attend an awesome church, and so the Word of God has definitely been ingrained in my heart. And the Lord took me through college and really just had me to just stay strong with Him and really just believe God. And I've seen God do some just very awesome things in my life. And so after graduating college, I worked for the ministry and became a leader in our church. And my husband as well is a man of God, and he also knew the Lord when he was a youth. And we both worked for the ministry. We both headed up a lot of departments in our church, singles ministry, youth ministry, music ministry. We kind of, the Lord was doing something way back then when we didn't even recognize it. And we both actually was on payroll in the ministry. And then the Lord basically dealt with the both of us and said, hey, you two need to look at one another. And so we were married, and to God be all the glory, both of us were virgins when we got married. We had the picture perfect, I guess you would say, according to the Bible type marriage or type wedding ceremony. Never did drugs. Neither one of us ever indulged in alcohol. God had really sheltered us. And we knew that there was ministry, and there still is ministry on our marriage. But Satan is no respecter person, just like how God is no respecter person. And he came immediately and began to harass our marriage. And the first year of our marriage, I had gotten hurt by some things that I experienced in marriage. And instead of releasing it and forgiving my sweetheart, I became bitter, and I didn't realize it at the time. I suppressed my anger or I suppress that hurt. And, you know, hurt people hurt people. And so we opened the door in our marriage that very first year just through negative words. We started speaking Satan's language. You know, we just, instead of going to the Word and trying to, you know, really come together, sit together, and reason together, we began to just really speak negatively about what God had done. And our second year, shortly after our second year anniversary, my husband came to me and asked me to leave our home. And so since then, I've just been staying with my mom and just standing for our marriage. And God, this has been quite an incredible journey. And I love it. I love it. I really wouldn't trade it for the world. I needed this experience. And like Chris said, it definitely has been correction and really showing me and just the things that I needed to deal with regarding who God was calling me to be.
Martina, that is such a strong word. And what you said is so important for all our standards who are listening here, is the first thing the Lord does is He says, I want to change you. I want to reveal to you first what is going on in your life and what you've done wrong before He starts. Because I was busy telling God all about what my spouse was doing, which was obvious, and He didn't want to hear about my husband. He wanted to tell me about me and about my words and about what I said. And that's why Zip the Lips is always so prevalent in our ministry, because I was wanting to always have the Lord. I wanted to give the answers, and I wanted to tell Bob what was wrong with our relationship and how he could correct it and how we could rectify it. And the Lord said, zip your lips. You keep quiet. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to deal with you first. So we're thrilled. Martina, words can destroy people, and wounding and hurts, if we do not forgive, can become a bitter root, and it can cause anger, bitterness, rage, and a lot of things that it talks about in the Bible and in Ephesians, and we need to forgive. And that's why the Lord's Prayer, and that's one of the questions we're going to have today, we're going to discuss in just a couple of minutes. But I got to get Ben in here. So Ben, thank you. Last but not least.
Hey, why are the men always left?
I know. Last but not least, the men get represented by Ben. We're thrilled to have you, Ben.
Well, I'm Ben, and I feel that I am the senior citizen of the guest, and I'm very happy to be included in this conference call. A little bit about myself. I was born and raised in a Christian home and attended what I call a traditional non-Bible church during my upbringing. I later married a Christian lady while I was in graduate school, and we were churched throughout our marriage and active in our traditional church, which included some leadership roles. My wife was a much stronger Christian than myself, and she planted many Christian seeds in me during our long marriage. However, after a very long illness lasting a number of years, she died after we had been together nearly 42 years. At the time of her death, I came to realize that I did not have a strong relationship with Jesus Christ, and I wasn't really sure where I was going to spend eternity. My second wife was also widowed, and she introduced me to a very intense weekly Bible study, which I am still involved in. I'm in my eighth year of that now. She watered the Christian seeds that my first wife planted in me, and we later joined a local Bible church. My second marriage was rocky, to say the least, and Satan found many cracks in our shell, and he opened them into gaping canyons. I look back, and I see that much of the failure in this marriage was due to unresolved lifelong issues, our baggage, which I, in my own life, that I brought into the marriage. And it was during the turmoil of this marriage and later separation and pending divorce that I reached my bottom and I found Jesus. I now know where I'm going to spend eternity.
Praise the Lord.
I have been apart and divorced from my wife for several years. I dearly love my wife and am willing to lay my life down for her and look forward to God's miracle of resurrection of our dead marriage. That being said, will echo both what Chris and Martina have said. I would not trade this time apart for anything in the world, because it has allowed me the time to get to know Jesus and know who I am in Him. Very early in our separation, I was wondering what I was going to do. I was already involved in a marriage reconciliation ministry at our church, but God spoke to me through a rhema verse, Luke 21:19, saying, "By standing firm, you will gain life." God went on to bring into my mind the story of Abraham and Isaac up on the mountain, and how God stayed Abraham's hand, stating, and this is my paraphrase, "Now I know that you are obedient to my will." God told me that He expected that same type of same kind of obedience from me. Later, He spoke to me through revelations, through sermons, etc., of His plan to reunite us as husband and wife in a new marriage, built upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And He planned for us a ministry and reconciliation for our family, where divorce is rampant, and thus He wants us to leave a positive legacy rather than a negative legacy, and then a ministry to the rest of the world. God continues to reaffirm His plans for me and my wife, that I am to continue to stand, for He will bring about the miracle, a marital resurrection in our lives. The last thing I'd like to say is I continue to wear my wedding band to remind myself of my covenant vows with God and with my wife.
Well, Ben, I agree with you. And I tell you, each of you have had a special testimony of what God has done in your life and the importance of what the Lord has revealed to you. And for Ben to come to know his Lord and Savior after his first wife died, how important that is. And how many of our standards have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ during this crisis in their marriage problems.
You might recognize Ben's name from some Monday guest devotionals. He's done several of them for us.
Oh, yes, he has. And so has Chris.
Right.
And Martina did one recently. So they all have shared their heart with you all previously. But, you know, while we talk about this, Bob, since you're on the phone and you don't always stay on the phone every minute, let me ask you a question that we...
Well, it's not by choice.
I know that. I know.
Don't give me the doghouse.
He has technical things to do there that I'm thankful that we have him here to do.
Speaking of that, we've got 91 people listening in right now.
Well, praise the Lord. But, Bob, we had a lady that wrote and asked that talked about her husband. And so many people, right, let me jump in and say, so many people battle financial problems, spiritual problems, but also physical problems when the separation or divorce comes in. It's just the enemy attacks us in many areas of our lives. But Bob can tell you, he also was attacked physically when he was away. But this one says her husband had a heart attack, and she was at her bedside allowing hospital personnel to think that she was a wife.
He was allowing
her to be there as his wife. And but God moved on him and touched him. But then when he got better, you know what happens. He turned away. And now he traveled again and got sick again, and she's just wanting to know if God has been telling him to come home, or would he have been convicted, or why did he have all this happen and not come home? And Bob, you're the perfect one to sort of deal with that issue.
Before I gave that email to Charlene, I put a note on the bottom about foxholes and atheists. You know, there's an old saying, there are no atheists in foxholes. And I think we could paraphrase that a bit and say there are no prodigals in hospital beds. That when illness comes, we want to tell God real quick, we're going to do what you've been telling us to do. I believe this man was being convicted of God to go home before that first heart attack, all the time he was in the bed, but once he was back on his feet, it was kind of like, thank you, God, I'll call you next time I need you. Now, we could get ourselves in trouble trying to judge, did he have a real salvation experience? Did he really turn his heart over to the Lord? Was he disobedient before? Is he disobedient now? That's all God's business, what spiritual shape that man was in before. But I can tell you from having been there and from having talked with scores of other prodigals that when the crisis comes, we turn to God. But I'll tell you a better part than that is that we prodigals know that when we have a spouse who's praying for us, it's the greatest thing in the world. There were times in our own experience, and we've written about many of them, when I would call Charlene and ask her to pray for me. And many of these even involve the other person. But it's the most encouraging thing in the world that he let you stay there and be recognized by the staff as his wife. I think that shows in his heart where he really is.
Exactly.
So this is that old tug-of-war, the old pendulum, that when he gets close, he gets scared, or she gets scared and draws back the other way even more. But it's going to be one thing after another until they finally came where I came on July 7th, 1987, and say, okay, God, I can't fight it anymore. You've tried to get my attention. I can't do it. I'm ready to listen. So I think that there's good news for her, don't you, honey?
Oh, I do, too. And the tug of war, literally, I'd written down that word for another question, that the testing of the waters, we have so many. If you have read the devotionals, just this Saturday testimonies this past week, with so many men, so many communications opening up where they're seeing their spouses, they're talking to them, they're emailing them, and the walls of silence is coming down. And they test the waters, and some may come over and spend a night or two or a week, and then suddenly they go and they disappear again. Bob, you need to sort of deal with that, because I know you tested the waters over here many, many thousands of times, it seems like. And I never thought you would ever leave again, and you would leave, you know.
Right.
So what made you leave, dear?
No, I don't know.
Put him on the spot, guys. Then I do good.
Satan made me leave.
That's right. That's
okay.
The word.
That's the short answer.
Tug of war between God and Satan.
But you know, inside our hearts, we prodigals know what's right. We know the difference in right and wrong. We know the difference in living a holy life and living a sinful life. God shows us those things. He reveals it to us. But we make our choices and think we're going to run a little bit faster than God is.
And the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the world is tempting all of us every day. And we have a choice. And we have got to pray for the holiness and the righteousness, and for them to just be able to say no to the sinful nature. The Lord has given me a scripture that has just been burning in my spirit for probably 3 or 4 weeks now, and it's Acts 26:18. And it says, and this is what we should pray every day for, Lord, open their eyes. Open my husband, my wife, my children's eyes, and turn them from the darkness to the light, and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of their sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. We must pray that regularly, daily. And I must challenge you, and I'm going to put these people right on the spot, the guest here, but I prayed scripture. I still pray scriptures, and I still pray scriptures now for my children and for my grandchildren when they have a crisis come in their lives. I am praying scripture. God's word will not return void, you know, and we've got to stand on the promises of God. I can cry out a million words, but God's word is powerful. And God's word says how many things that what God's word will do. We do devotionals on it, but it makes mountains melt like wax. So we've got to understand that the most important thing we can do is when they test the waters, praise the Lord, and when they walk out the door, start praying and interceding. And let me remember the words F, fast, fast, fast. If you have never fasted, I challenge you, fast one meal a week. If you have gotten beyond that, fast one meal a day. You know, do one, maybe fast one day a week. I don't care how you do it. Let the Holy Spirit tell you how much he wants you to do it. But we need to get serious in the spiritual warfare that is going on for your spouse's life and everything. Now, I'm going to ask the three of you, do you pray scripture, and how often have you all ever gone on fasting? How are you praying spiritually for your spouse to be set free? Martine, I'll pick on you first.
Okay. Yes, that's the only way to pray, because God, when he hearkens to our prayers, he hearkens to the voice of his word. That's what his angels hearken to. So we do have heavenly assistance. We have angels that are going for us, keeping our spouse safely. And so it's important that we don't pray just pretty prayers, but that we pray powerful prayers that contain God's word, because that's what God is listening for. And the Bible tells us that it's the word of God that won't return unto him void. And so in order for me to have that assurance that God is hearing my prayers, and not just hearing my prayers, but that he's going to answer my prayer, I have to cover my spouse in the word of God. I have to repeat back to God what he's told me about my sweetheart. And so daily, I mean, my prayers are pretty conversational with God. I do have a list of confessions that I do, that what I cover our home with, I cover my husband with, I cover our future children with, because we don't have children as of right now. I cover our finances with. But however, a lot of times it's just in conversation. I'm constantly talking to the Lord about our future. And regardless of what, you know, the state of North Carolina says, that we're divorced, I know what God says and how this is a covenant. And so therefore, I'm constantly speaking the word of God over my husband's mental capacity and over his spiritual eyes, that, like you said, that his eyes will be open, that he'll see. Because a lot of times people try to scare us with the phrase, your husband or your wife has free will. However, they've made that decision to divorce us or to leave us based on false evidence. It's not real. What they're seeing, it's basically, it's not the truth, it's a lie. And so we have to pray that those blinders will be removed and they'll be able to see the truth, which is God's word. And when they see what God says about covenant and how, you know, he really holds marriage in high esteem, they'll conform.
Amen. And that's what we got to remember, that they've been tempted, they've been deceived, and as well as we were, we both failed in our marriages, but God revealed the truth first to us. And now he's going to reveal the truth to them also, and it's going to keep tugging at their heart. And God has a million ways to speak loudly to lost children. He came and to seek and save and died on the cross for all sinners, and we got to remember that. Chris?
Well, I too, I pray scripture regularly. I pray Ephesians 6 over my family every day. Often pray Psalm 51 because as a child growing up in a more traditional church, it was part of the liturgy, and so I know it by heart, so I can pray it sort of any time.
And Psalm 51 is David crying out after he had committed adultery and murder. He is crying out and repenting, and it's an awesome prayer to pray for a spouse.
Yeah, so I do those things, and then I also have started to, like, so say a friend is facing some type of a crisis in their life, or maybe there's a medical need or financial need or whatever. I've started to, in the cards that I include to friends and family and whatever, I've started to create scripture prayer cards for them, so that all that they have to do is kind of insert the name.
Okay.
So, and that has been really a blessing, I think, to a lot of people. And then in terms of fasting, I fast regularly, sometimes a couple of days a week, sometimes once a week, sometimes there's not at all in a week, sometimes 3 days at a time. Sort of however, I mean, there's a discipline to it, so I have to, if maybe a couple of weeks have gone by and I haven't, I have to sort of say, okay, the time, you know, you need to step in and do this. But there are other times when I start a fast, not with a kind of a determined end, but just until I believe, you know, until I have prayed and feel like the Holy Spirit has said, all right, you know, the time has come now that you can end your fast. So, and I would say that in all of the fasting, I mean, God has done some amazing things out of fasts in terms of, I mean, sometimes they've been big things, but oftentimes they've just been really little, what I always call little kisses from God, where, for instance, perhaps my prodigal has been kind of on one of those pendulum swings on the other side and I haven't heard from him for several days or whatever, and then kind of more often than not I fast and there's an email or a phone call or a contact of some kind, and just, you know, little ways that God honors that obedience to take that step.
And I agree with you 100% on that. And let me read, if any of you have not ever gone into studying fasting, if you go in and go into Charlene Kerr's search and type fasting, you will find out several devotionals that give you detailed about different ways of fasting.
If they'll just use the word fast and rather than fasting, you'll get more responses.
That's true. And type the word fast and you will get several devotionals on it and teach you. But let me read the scripture, Isaiah 58, verse 6. And this is where the Lord took me to begin with to teach me fasting. And I had never fasted as a Christian until my husband left and the Lord took me down that road. Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke and to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Now you can read the whole chapter on Isaiah 58, but that was the scripture that God showed me. That I needed to, I knew Bob was in bondage. I knew he had been taken captive by Satan and was just deceived and just was in, had gotten involved in so many different things. And he was just in bondage and in chains and a prisoner of war, was prisoner of Satan. And that's the scripture God gave me. And so he really convicted me to fast. Due to my health problems, I never was able to fast days, but I fast meals or gave up special things, and God honored that also. So, you know, there's several different types of fasts. Ben, may I bring you into this?
Well, I'll have to say that I have not done a lot of fasting, and it's been a little while since I have done that. I've done it both for a period of time and then other things of fasting, giving up something special that I like, which was, one of them was chocolate. I am a chocoholic, and gave that up for a month. That being said, talking about praying scripture, I generally am a person who prays very short prayers, and one of the things that I, when I pray scripture, Dennis Winfield, back about 2 years ago, listed about 10 or 12 scriptures in his Standing Firm for Men, which is also very good for women to get in, signed up on that, because although he directed toward men, the women, those that I know in our marriage reconciliation ministry have benefited greatly from it. But there are a number of scriptures in there where you search your spouse's name or insert both of your names. As you, probably the one I pray most frequently is that I just I remind myself and I remind God that he said back in Genesis it was not good for man to be alone, and that can be, the gender can be switched to it's not good for woman to be alone, and you know it's and so we were meant to be creatures of association, a close association, a partnership of two human beings, a man and a woman. And I remind myself and I remind God as if he needs to be reminded. It's not good for man to be alone. And then I cry out to him as I pray for my wife, and I pray that he reconcile her to himself, to point out to her, you know, she has very strong will, and I've had family members saying, but she's got free will and she won't listen, you know, she won't. Yeah, that being said, I pray that he will put a heaviness on her heart to understand the error that in breaking covenant and leaving the marriage. And so she left the marriage, but like I said in my opening statements, much of the marriage breakdown was due to my own shortcomings. And so I do a fast occasionally. I don't fast as much as I should, and I do pray scriptures, but not on a daily basis. But but they're usually very short, and because I pray short prayers.
Okay. The one thing that I would challenge all of the people that are listening is that if you have not started ever a fast, is that you just start one meal a week and then work the way up to what the Lord wants you to do, or give up one special thing that would be easier for you to do. But there's power in fasting, and there's power in praying the Word of God. And what I have learned and do is when I do my devotions, I will read my devotions, and it now, as the Lord has taught me, I can read a promise in any book of the Bible, and all of a sudden it will seem to leap off the page where you can pray that for the standards or for your family or for, you know, loved ones. So, you know, healing or whatever it might be, or prosperity or blessings or whatever it is.
Well, when you think about it, God gave us the Bible personalized.
Exactly. So, you know, that is why I think we can actually, when we read the Bible, and you must read the Bible daily. I'm going to tell you, if you're not in the Word of God daily, the devil is stealing from you, and you're not growing in the Lord as much as you need to. You need to have a definite prayer time, and you need to make time. And I know you're busy, and I know, but if you will just turn off the computer, turn off the chat rooms, or turn off the TV, you've got to make time to put the Lord either first in the morning or at the end of the day or whatever, or read a little bit every at lunchtime. You've got to put the Lord first, and you've got to get the Word in you. If you don't get the Word in you, you're not going to be able to fight the enemy with the truth. And that's what's happened to so many of the men and women, let alone, I want to tell you, as Ben has mentioned, and as Martina has mentioned, and all of us, even Bob and I personally, many of us were Christians when we got divorced, and we should have never gotten divorced. We should have been able to go to the Lord and work out the problems, but we did not have a strong relationship in our prayer life or with each other to pray and to seek the Lord on answers, getting them from the Lord by praying, fasting. And we need to pray that there are so many that are listening that their spouse was the Christian and they messed up, but their spouse will not forgive them. And that is just the enemy that has blinded and deceived a strong woman or man of God, and we have got to do it by prayer and fasting, the Word of God, to break the strongholds, to get our spouses, who are men and women of God, back to know the truth, and the truth is going to set them free. Bob, I'm going to give you the next question. You said,
Charlene, can I just interject for a second?
Yes.
You know, that whole question of free will, and you know, both you and Bob have commented on that over time, but the thought just occurred to me. I know when Ben just said that his wife had a strong will, I had a strong will, and God was able to turn my heart. And I think we look at our prodigals and we think, oh, Lord, how will you ever change their hearts? And yet, I would guess probably for a majority of standards, we're not walking a perfect walk before these problems befell them.
No.
And God was able to reach and touch our hearts and change their hurt.
I was administrator of a doctor's office. I was in control. I ran the office, and I had a strong will.
And
I've written about it recently, and it was due to my refusing to forgive my husband another time. And I will talk about forgiveness after Bob's question. But it was because I refused to forgive him over and over. I felt I had done it 70 times 7. I've done it. And I refused. And the Lord had to break me and show me that, you know what, you've done nothing. You know, I died on the cross. You need to forgive your husband. And the Lord had to take me on a detour road. But you know what? God got the glory on it.
Exactly. But free will... A prodigal's free will is no big deal to God. He has 10,000 ways to change our free will. And if we had time, I could take you through experience after experience of where I thought I was in control. But looking back, I can see that God was working on my free will. I had the right to make a decision, but A decision is going to hurt me, B decision is going to help me. So free will is no big thing to God. Charlene, we had a question given since we started. The answer, I think, would answer about two more. They're laying there in front of you, the questions.
Okay.
My spouse has become suddenly silent and avoiding conversation. He's even missing the kids' activities, which is out of character. I would like to know how to best respond to this. And then she has silence for silence and a question mark. And you have two others that one deal with communication with a spell, a prodigal, and there's a third one also.
You know, we talk about zip your lips, and some people can get so confused, but communication. We need to pray that communication, regardless of your separation or divorce, we need to pray for communication to be open as friends. And that is, you may not like the word friends, but that is what we need to start with. We need to say that we're two human beings and we can act and talk to each other normally and not lose it and control our behavior, our emotions, and our actions. I know that is going to touch some of you because you have lost it and you have not acted in a normal Christ-like way and you've lost your anger and you've run off with the mouth. That's why they zip your lips sometimes, but we need to pray for communication. We need to pray the walls of hostility to be knocked down, the Jericho walls of whatever they are to be removed in the name of Jesus every day. Open the doorways of heaven, Father, that my spouse has to pick up the phone, email, or text me to ask me a question about a bill, a tax, or something. I don't care. God will open the doorway for why he calls you or she calls you. And all of a sudden that you have, when it's so funny, because Bob will read the emails over and over to me, that once you pick up the phone, all of a sudden the conversation was good. It lasted maybe 2-3 hours at a time. And my husband would call us 10 or 11 o'clock at night. Our kids were in bed. And he would call and say, how are the kids doing?
I didn't know that.
And he would say, how are the kids? Are they up? Are they doing anything? Can I talk to them? And now he knew they were in bed, but he wanted to talk to me and had a million excuses. And I want to tell you, Bob would tell me all what he was doing with other people and where he took them and everything else. And yes, that was stabbing my heart, but the Lord said, zip your lips. Listen to him, pray for him, and I'm telling you what you need to pray against. He's telling you what he's doing, you need to pray against it. So listen to your spouse's hurts and their desires and what's going on, and not to criticize and condemn and judge, but say, Lord, let me pray for them, so that God is opening the doorway of heaven for you to see. I would pray that, and all people, that you could write a letter, except if you have a restraining legal document telling you you cannot, which we have with people, which we hate. But if you can, email, text, send cards, or whatever,
and say, the kids need to see you. The kids need to hear from you. You've divorced me. Don't divorce the children.
Unless that person tells you to stop.
Exactly. And
or some of the time, like I used to, I would just send a chatty email about the kids, unsolicited,
right.
But just sort of a, I just thought, you know, it's been a little while, I thought you might like to know.
Exactly.
And then just fill in the details.
They need to be filled in weekly with what's going on with their children. And there are, Bob and I bleed for the men who are not able to see their children legally. And we bleed for the ones that the parents do not pick up the phone, do not see their children or anything. But we have got to pray Malachi 4:6, that he will turn the hearts of the fathers and mothers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. You need to pray. Honor your father and mother. There are scriptures you can pray for your kids. And I know there are kids that are telling you, I don't want to go with dad. I don't want to go with mom. I don't want to be with that other person. I know what you're going through. Bob and I've been there. We did it with my own brother and then with our own kids. And our daughter spoke on Labor Day about, she thought, you know, maybe this isn't going to be so bad. At least there's not fighting going on in the house. And then she started realizing the consequences of what it really meant for the divorce. And then she realized, I don't like this either. And she didn't want a second mother, a stepmother. And
by the way, Lori said is going to be on next month's CD. It's already been done. So it'll be out in a couple weeks.
But, you know, we have got to not allow the enemy to create the silence and total, that parent disappearing from the children's lives.
Charlene, you said it, but I don't think you said it real clear or clearly enough, or let's repeat it, that zip the lips does not mean the silent treatment for your spouse.
It does not. We need both parents in their lives. Yes, one parent is sinning, and they may be an alcoholic, they may be a drug addict, they may be, you know, living very unchristlike, but they are still their father or mother, and you can say they made wrong choices, but you still love them unconditionally. And if we don't teach that to your children at a young age, how are we going to treat them as when they fall into sin? How are you going to treat your own child? You know, is the door open? You know, we've got to pray for our and then if we treat the spouse right, just like Chris said, you're going to be able to invite them to their activities. Even if they don't show up, keep inviting them and giving them the dates of their activities.
Speaking of daggers in the heart, that will be it.
And we have got to pray they show up, because yes, that child is terribly disappointed if they're not there. But guess what? We're going to pray God to move the mountains. And we've got to teach our children the importance of prayer. There are powerful prayer warriors are our little kids. And those kids have more faith than sometimes we have faith. And if we've got to teach them about the Bible and about David and Goliath, then we're going to kill the giant.
You want to tell about Allison on Labor Day? Because I can't, because she's sitting here.
Allison is a very athletic, our athletic child who's the oldest, and she is in a Baptist church with an upward team playing basketball, and the youth leader said, you're going to have fun with basketball, but you're going to pray. One goal is for every one of you girls and to be saved. Every one of you to pray for your mother and father to be saved and your brothers and sisters to be saved. And then we're going to pray that you will learn to pray with each other and you can learn the power of prayer. And in fact, I want you to learn how to pray out loud, and I want you to learn to pray with other people. And so we challenge you that during this season, you're going to pray out loud to a group of people some way, somehow. So Tim comes over with the whole family telling us this story after they signed up, and Tim says, and Mom and Dad, when is your dinner for Labor Day? When are we going? Because I volunteered Allison to pray for the food in front of all of the standers that night. And I thought he was joking. I never thought he would make his daughter do this. But he wanted his daughter to learn to pray out loud in front of other people. And I want to tell you, she prayed so awesome for Standers and their children and blessing the food that thrilled Bob and our hearts. So we've got to do it and keep on teaching our kids the importance of prayer.
The clock is running, but can I run back 1 second to... Someone asked a question by email just now that if we answered, it's going to help some others, I think. This person says she's having trouble eating. She has to force herself to eat to maintain her health. I don't see fasting as something for me. Are there alternatives?
Yes. Fast. I just went blank. Snack food, potato chips, something like that. Like Ben said, chocolate candy, you know, something like that. Fast, something that you like. I mean, there's a million things I just can't think of. Magazines, reading them, one magazine or something. But
Charlotte,
God is very creative.
Can I say something about the previous question, Keith?
Yes.
That we were talking about with silence?
Yes.
I just wanted to encourage those that don't have children, so therefore their spouse, really in the natural, it looks like they don't have an excuse to call you.
Right.
I know me personally, right after or in the beginning of my stand, in the beginning during the separation, I did, you know, write the letter to my husband, and I repented, and I would send cards. I would send birthday cards, anniversary cards, care packages, and all of that really grieved him. And he asked me to stop. And the Lord even told me, okay, Martina, you've done your part. You've done your part, whereas reaching out, I need you to stop. And now, because I'm going to deal with your husband. I'm going to touch him. And I'm going to talk with him. And I just need you to basically be that 1 Peter 3 wife. And so I know that's a scripture that definitely encourages me. Since this 2-year stand, I've only spoken to my husband thoroughly, probably once, and that was right before the divorce, and he called it a closure meeting, and really he did all the talking, and I was just so happy to be in his presence and that close to him. I just basically smiled the whole time when what was coming out of his mouth was very negative. However, you know, the glory of God, I'm sure, was seen upon me, and the peace of God just kept me. And I see my husband twice a week in church, and I don't have that communication. I haven't spoken with him since January, outside of maybe small passings of a quick wave. And so I just want to let standers know that there are standers that are here that we don't hear from our spouses. We don't get phone calls. We don't get texts. And just know that the scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 3 that, you know what, you don't win him or her over by conversation, but it's really by your lifestyle. And it says basically, in like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands, that if any have been disobedient to the word, so whether they are unsaved or whether they are a believer and they are just disobeying God right now, you, by your conduct, not by conversation, can win him over or her over without a word. And so that just comforts me, and it lets me know that I don't have to be up in his face. I don't have to say this, because the Bible assures me that I can win him over without a word, by my conduct, by how I'm remaining faithful to God. And as I just trust God, and like Charlene says, zip the lips, and just, you know, go to his head, which is God, God will be the enforcer, and God will deal with him or her. And so that has comforted me, and I just know that God will one day open up those doors of communication, but right now that hasn't opened.
And you know what, Martina, there are a lot of others. There are so many that are in silence, of husbands that have not been able to talk to their wives or children, even for years. We have got to pray that, as you said, is that scripture and other scriptures, that the door will knock down the walls of silence.
And there's one more scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. It says, for it is God's will and intention that by doing right, your good and honest lives should silence, muzzle, gag the ignorant charges and ill-informed criticisms of foolish persons. And so just, again, you don't have to try to defend yourself if you're being lied on or made accusations of or all this stuff. Sometimes we can't zip our lips because we want to let them know what's right. But just know that the Bible says that just your righteous conduct is going to silence all of that negativity. God is our avenger, and vengeance is of him. And so, you know, if your husband is or your wife is being quiet, then, you know, go to the Lord. Only the Lord can give you the right answer. But you just want to make sure that if you're going to respond in silence, it's out of a pure heart. I'm not in this mode right now with me not talking to my husband or, you know, this silence mode out of bitterness or out of the silent treatment like I would have when we were married actually together in the natural. There were times when we would be in the same house and, you know, I gave him the quote-unquote silent treatment. No, this silence is a rest that I'm in right now. And so just make sure you want to judge your heart, compare it to the Word and judge your heart and making sure that your heart is pure and that I love my sweetheart. And when he's ready or when she's ready to come to me, I'm going to, that love is still reflecting off of you, even without a word. So just judge your heart. So if you're going to be quiet, judge your heart and make sure it's not out of bitterness or anger.
And that's the whole thing. And it's letting go and letting God. You have had to let go and let God. And,
yes, ma'am.
And people say, how do I do it? Just like what Martina has been telling you, you're trusting God, and letting go and letting God does not mean you become passive, and that is the most the lie that the enemy will use. Letting go and letting God, it appears like I gave up. No, it doesn't. It means that you are in the prayer closet. You're doing things right in the prayer closet. If you ever, somebody asked how your husband is doing, you're saying you're praying for them, but you're letting go every day of not letting the devil destroy you throughout the day, that you can't function at work, that you can't eat, but that you are giving your whole life, laying it at the altar as with the Lord, with your children, trusting the Lord with your husband, with your children, with all the circumstances, financial, and you're letting go and letting God. Then, when you have not been able to talk to your spouse, you're still letting go and letting God, but you're still not passive, sitting there doing nothing, correct?
Exactly. Yes, ma'am. Completely.
Could I put in a two-cents worth?
That's why I'm trying to get you in there.
Okay. My wife and I were senior citizens when we got married, and we were in our 60s, and therefore we have no children between us, and therefore there is no... when we separated and were divorced, there was nothing to draw us together discussing the family matters. She went on to move to another church, and I have not spoken to her in a year and a half, almost 2 years, I guess, now, and I have not seen her in 2.5 years. That being said, you know, I tried to make contact from early on, time to time, and the Lord slapped my hand. He told me to step aside, and he said, you're being impatient. He wanted to teach me patience, and that's one of the biggest lessons that I think that he's taught me, is to be patient, to wait on his timing and not my timing. You know, we are basically... impatient. Humans are basically impatient people, beings, and we're instantaneous gratification type people, and I'm no exception to that. And so I have had to learn to step aside and let him work on the other side of the mountain. I can't see what's going on over there. I only know what he's doing in my own heart, which is fantastic. And, you know, I can say, well, if he's doing half of what he's doing in my heart, in my wife's heart, this is going to be a marvelous reconciliation, you know. And it's one of those things. There are those of us who do not have those connections, and
that's
we just have to.
I'm so glad you spoke that, because that is so true. And what you're saying is, amen. You have to trust the Lord and say, okay, Lord, what is it for me? What am I supposed to do? That is why God does speak to us. As I started at the beginning, he does correct us. He does slap our hands, and we have to listen to him. And, Ben, I'm going to ask you a question since I've got you on.
the one of the questions that we just have is, my problem is dealing with pain and the issues of forgiveness. Especially if they come home, he treats me great. He asks for forgiveness often, but I can't respond. And so now we got the spouse home, and we're still, now the real forgiveness is walking the walk now. How have you forgiven your spouse, and how do you know that you know you're walking in forgiveness?
Well, early on, as I listened to, I got hooked up with your all's ministry, and then also the ministry at our church. One of the things that I first came about was to be non-adversarial. As she processed the divorce, I agreed. You know, I didn't get into any confrontations, and I tried to show unconditional love down through the whole process. Toward the end of the proceedings, I was able to speak to her and tell her that I had forgiven her. I had worked through the anger. I had worked through the disappointment, what I felt was betrayal, betrayal of our marriage vows. And I worked through that, and I was able to express forgiveness to her, and I also asked for forgiveness from her for my acts. And there was a period of time which she was not willing to give me forgiveness. And then later she did say, I do forgive you. I think one of the biggest things, the stumbling blocks that we have in any reconciliation situation is a lack of forgiveness. And, Christ tells us, the Bible tells us, if we cannot forgive our fellow man, how can we expect God to forgive us? And so, that to me is paramount in a reconciliation, is forgiveness. It's, and another thing I found, I had to forgive myself for all the stuff that I had done.
Amen.
We talked about forgiving the spouse and other people who hurt us, but in almost every confrontation where people, feelings or something happens between the two individuals, whether it be spouses or be a parent-child or just friends or relatives, etc., everybody, it takes two people, and both people are at fault. And so for me to forgive my wife, I also have to forgive myself for what I did to her and for my shortcomings. And I understand that, I'm only human, but I can forgive myself because I have asked, I have asked Jesus to forgive me, and I've laid my sins at the foot of the cross, and and now I'm covered by the blood. And we, at the foot of the cross, he traded his life, took the wrath from our Father God upon his body, and gave us his cloak of righteousness so that we can come before a holy Father, a holy God, in eternity. And one of the things I have ministered to several people this summer who just said they could not forgive themselves. Mm-hmm. And they had no forgiveness in their, and I said, I want you to kind of think of this scenario right now. And I said, if you were the only person on the earth who had sinned, Jesus Christ would go to the cross for your sins so that you could spend eternity with him and God. If you were the only person, he would go to the cross for you. If you value that relationship then you can understand how great forgiveness is. And it's so freeing. I tell you, when I was able to forgive my wife, it was so freeing to my soul that I could move on.
Well, it's mandatory, it's necessary. In Matthew 6, it says, "Our Father which art in heaven," which is, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation. But it says in verse 14, "For if you forgive men what they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." It is conditional, and that we have taught about forgiveness is probably one of the most important things that have to be done. As Ben has so well said, it's paramount, it's required that you walk in forgiveness, you ask for forgiveness, and that you forgive your spouse, especially when they walk in that door. I've written about it a million times, saying, are you ready to able to forgive them when they walk in that door and they have all that baggage coming in? Are you going to forgive them every day? And are you going to trust them with the Lord? Letting go and letting God every day, saying, you're not going to control them. You're not going to give them boundaries. You're going to trust that prodigal who has walked in. The Lord brought him in the door. He doesn't need your help of giving him all these rules and strict boundaries of what he can or she cannot do, of phone calls or communication with the other person. You can give them the book. I'd give them the book. Hey, here's a book of that I've found and has ministered to me, Finding the Way Home. Give it to them and see if they want it. If not, a year from now they may read it. But you need to understand, you have to walk in forgiveness and unconditional love as that prodigal father took that child and loved him with compassion totally. Forgive them is so important to us that if you will go to our website, rejoiceministries.org, or go to forgivethem.net, go to either or, and you will find we have a teaching on forgive them, and we also have CDs, we have billboards in the United States which says two words, red, forgive, black, them. We have, we believe forgiveness. Father, Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
On that page also, Charlene, are testimonies. Every testimony we ever receive that's had the word forgive in it is displayed on, linked from that page.
So go there, people. We have to understand what Jesus said when, how many times do you forgive? You forgive 7 times 70, over and over and over again. You can never not stop forgiving. And you've got to forgive those other people, that other person, the in-laws, the people who are picking sides. You have got to go and say, Lord, who am I holding grudges with? Who am I? You know, that could be a sin and error in your way. So please, forgiveness is so important. Martina, Kristen, let me ask you first. How are you doing on forgiveness?
You know, I think well, but that's been a long process. I think in the beginning, certainly I felt, well, thankfully, really, I think that before I fully knew the reasons why my marriage was failing, I struggled with feeling pretty self-righteous about all of that. But once it was clear that we were really in trouble, thankfully the Holy Spirit instantly began to have me take a pretty good look at myself. So that was actually very helpful, because when I have to walk in the humble realization that I was the Christian in our marriage and that I was the one who opened the doors to some of the things that have befallen us, there's a lot of, there's a good dose of, it's pretty hard to stand too self-righteously when do an analogy to some type of an illness, that I was the person who went out and contracted, you know, some sort of serious illness and brought that back to our marriage. In some respects, that's what I did with my words and my actions and my behaviors. And so to it makes it difficult for me to sit and to be judgmental about that. Through the years, though, it's, you know, God has continued to work that through in me. And now when I feel that those little threads of unforgiveness start to rear their ugly heads, I just instantly pray that Jesus would just fill me with his heart of forgiveness. And that works. But it wasn't always that way. I mean, it took a lot of time and a lot of calling on him and crying out to him to bring that about. And now that comes pretty easily. But
forgiveness is going to be a process that's going to go on for the rest of your life. Because you can be wounded at church. You can be wounded at work. You are going to have to forgive people and situations for your entire life. And you have to start now with this, with your husband and possibly another person or lies that have been told. You need to learn forgiveness. And we Christians have watered down how the importance of forgiveness. We've watered down the unconditional love. We've watered down till death do us part. We've watered down the Bible. And we've got to get back into the Bible to understand how important it is. And you will find this, Forgive Them, to be major in our website. And please go to it because it will teach you and take you through the steps and will help you tremendously. Let me do one last question, Bob.
Charlene, before you... You were talking, there was a question from a lady who had some health issues and she wanted to fast, but she felt she couldn't fast because of health issues.
Yes, please.
Well, you know, you can fast in other ways, in the sense that you can, things that you love to do, that you do on a daily basis, you can put those aside. If there's a special TV program you watch, or,
Excellent.
You know, or if you like to, if you're a shopaholic, you know, you can put that on a, that'll save you some money. Also, if you put that on...
Especially right now.
you put that... so there are other things that you can do. Fasting is not so much about food. It's giving up something for the sake of bettering yourself, be it food, be it... a program that you watch or listen to, something that you do that can bring you more in tune with God's message to you.
Amen. You're spending that time with Him, putting Him first and saying, I'm sacrificing as in obedience to try to break the stronghold.
Could I slip in a final question?
Yes, go ahead, Bob.
Okay. A man asks, he has young adult children, they refuse to speak to their mother. He tries to get them to talk to her. Their anger toward him gets worse. And he asks, what scripture can I pray over my family? Do you all have any good scriptures right off the top?
I didn't understand the question.
Do the question again, Bob.
He has children who are young adults, too. They refuse to speak to their mother. And he's asking what scripture he can pray over his family to improve communication between the kids and their mother.
Look up the scriptures, anger and bitterness, and Ephesians, it talks about, Ephesians 4 would be a good one, living as children of light, verses 17 to the end. But your children are sitting against God, or they may not even be strong Christians right now, and they've allowed the anger and the bitterness of the wounding that they have. And there is that anger and bitterness and unforgiveness again. So you need to pray the forgiveness scriptures as well as anger. And pray for them to be healed. And Ephesians 6, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. It doesn't say if your spouse is a saint or if she's an alcoholic. It doesn't say, or an adulteress. It says to do to honor your father and mother. Start praying different scriptures like that. We had a question also that children as adults, they do not know about. They don't know why the father left, and she doesn't want to tell them. She doesn't know what to. How does she cover? Does she tell them that there's another person, or does she cover his nakedness? And I would say, cover his nakedness. do you do not need to be the one to tell them of what he's doing. Ask the Lord to reveal it to them if they're to know, and cover his nakedness, and sooner or later God will reveal the truth. It's supposed to be out. Otherwise, you just say, you know, all I can tell you is you need to talk to your dad, but just cover it. Don't you agree, Bob? So we have run out of time for talking, but we want to go into the Lord in prayer, but I cannot tell you. I think we've discussed many subjects and with many questions that people sent in today, probably the best that we've ever done in discussing multiple subjects. And Chris, Ben, and Martina, thank you so very much for all of you, because you all come from a different background, and I know that you all have been through many of these different issues.
Can I get one more in?
Okay.
Allison, our 12-year-old granddaughter who's here, just told me that she's fasted television. Now, if a 12-year-old can fast, don't you think our standards should be able to?
Amen. And that, Madison, tell him about somebody sick at their church and what one of their children are going to be doing. You remember that story? We went out to dinner with our son, and one of the people are very, very sick, and a family member, and a third grader told them, I'm going to be fasting. Two very special things that for her were very special. And she was giving up, like, Coke and French fries, praying for God to heal a family member. So you can do this and apply it to your children, and the kids get involved. It's awesome with what fasting. And not, like, just like you said, it doesn't have to be food. Ben has made it very clear it does not.
That little girl's fasting sweets.
Sweets, that's what it was. Okay, thanks, honey. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to do popcorn prayers, where we're just going to keep going back and forth and close, and we're not going to do many popcorn prayers because we're running out of time. But just thank you, everybody who has called in. I pray you have been blessed and touched, and send your questions in. We will keep them for next month if we didn't touch the subject this month, but we'll keep them for next time. And often I use them also for subjects for devotionals that Bob and I do. So if you do have questions that you still haven't had an answer today. But thank you guys so much for joining us and being part of the panel today. We really appreciate it. We're going to just start now, and Ben, I'm going to let you start first, and if you would just take us to the throne and let us pray first. You represent the men, and each of you have different things. Chris, you can pray for the children, of course, and Martina, for all the young people who do not get to talk to, and all the people who do not get to see or talk to their spouses, and the young marrieds that we are praying for.
Holy Father, we come before you this afternoon with humble hearts. You've told us in your word that where two or more are gathered, you're in our midst, and we know that you're in our midst. Lord, we know that the divorce is sin, and marriage is a reflection of Christ and his bride, the church. And Satan has attacked to the very heart of the relationship between Christ and his church, and he attacks marriage. Lord, you know, I remember when I was a child that divorce was so rare that you even spoke of it behind cupped hands. But now it's a common joke. It's a thing that's on all the TV programs. You know, it's just marriage is not held high anymore. And Lord, we just asked you to bring up a new generation of individuals, of godly men and women who understand that marriage is a covenant between you and them, and between between the two spouses. Lord, you know, communication is such an important thing, and we're trying to communicate with you through prayer. But we need to communicate with our spouses and our families, and let them understand that we are trying to follow what Jesus has asked us to do, to stand for our marriages, to stand in the gap for between Satan and our marriage. And while, Lord, many of us have failed in the times past, you have brought new understanding and new meaning to our lives through our stands. And I know that for myself, I would not go back. This time alone has been precious to me. And I know it has been to the others that I've heard speak this evening. But we just ask you to be with us and to, as we lift up our cries to you, pray this in the name of your precious Son, Jesus.
Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for every standard, God, that has had the opportunity to listen in on this phone call, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, that what they've heard, Lord, has been rhema and tailor-made for their situation. I specifically lift up standards, God, that are standing without children, God, without any connection with their spouse, God, communicatively. I pray for those young marriages, God, that were infiltrated by the enemy, God, and I just pray and even uplift those standards, God, that have to face sickness or unemployment, Lord, on their own, God. And I just thank you, Lord, Father God, for the Holy Spirit, who is a comforter and who will comfort us like no person can. I thank you, Lord, for just your word, which endues us with power, God, and with strength, God, to continue to fight the good fight of faith, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that though this vision of marriage restoration may tarry, God, we will wait for it, for we know that it will speak and will not lie. Heavenly Father, I also thank you for our prodigals, God, and I thank you, Holy Spirit, for you are the convictor. You are the convincer of sin and of wrongdoing, God, and I thank you for going after each and every prodigal, God, not letting them go until they turn and hear from you, God. Thank you, Lord, for disrupting their plan, for your word clearly tells us, God, that many plans are in a man's mind, but it's your will that will prevail. So I thank you, God, that your will of marital restoration, God, is prevailing, God, of all the standards on this phone call, God, and even the ones, God, that are standing and don't even know it, God. I just thank you, Lord, Father God, for the marriage restoration, Lord, coming forth now in Jesus' name.
And Father, I too pray for each of the people who are listening in, the standards who are listening, and the standards who will hear this message as it's recorded and made available to them. Lord, I pray for each of those people who struggle with those questions of what do you do with regard to children, be they grown children or perhaps even grandchildren or their own children are still in the home. And I ask, Lord, that you would just give them wisdom of the words to speak to their children as every circumstance is different. But, Lord, I think about in answer to their question that every answer that they need is found in your word. And every prayer that we could pray for our prodigals can be prayed for our children as well, Lord, that their hearts would be turned from stone to flesh, that you would just give them eyes and ears to hear the truth, that you would just give them a full coat of your armor, all of those things, Lord, that you teach us to pray for our prodigals. I pray that you would just help each standard to be taught to pray that for their children as well. And Lord, I think sometimes we can get so focused on our prodigals that we can maybe not give as much time in prayer and in thought to our children. And I pray, Lord, that you would just keep us faithful in praying for not only our prodigal spouses, but for our children each and every day. And just bringing them before your throne and knowing that you are the one who loves them more than we do and that you're the one who desires that our families would be reconciled.
Lord, we just come to you and we just humbly bow before you and we just thank you for this telephone conference. We thank you for the availability that you have provided for us to be able to do it. And we give you the praise and
prodigal children or loved ones that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ that are listening, and all the ones that have not been able to tune in because of time commitments or living across the around the world, we ask that you would be with them as they listen to this teaching. Again, may you just have an anointing on this teaching that they can get all the presence of the Lord that we have felt in the midst of us talking. Lord, we pray that you will help us and our spouses and the children and grandchildren, all of us, would all flee the evil desires of our youth, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Oh, Lord, let us not have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because we know they produce quarrels. And, Lord, you tell us that the servant must not quarrel. We must be kind to everyone, able to teach them, but not be resentful. But those who oppose us, we just pray that you will gently touch them in hope that God is going to grant repentance to them. Lord, we're praying that you will have a mighty harvest of souls, not just today, but every day. Lord, that you would bring Bob, you brought Bob home on a Sunday, on a Wednesday morning, never believing that I had been praying every day, every week, for 2.5 years for him to come to his senses. And Lord, we know that you're going to speak to these spouses, that your timing is perfect. And it says, do not become weary, but we will reap the harvest. And oh, I pray that you would increase all of these people's strength, their faith, their hope, their trust in you. It's all about you, Lord. It's about our relationship with you. And I pray that the standards that have not got on their knees or not had that special time sitting in the chair with you and their word and with the Bible and just saying, Lord, speak to me. Talk to me. And I cried that out so many times, and literally I'd open up the Bible and the Lord would just give me a word that was just an answer to my cries at that moment. Lord, I pray that you would come alive to these standards, that you are real, and you are all that we need. God cares about you. He loves you. He knows your pain, but he also knows he can take away that pain. He can heal your broken heart. He can heal your wounded soul. And Lord, we just pray the ones who need a physical healing, a spiritual healing, an emotional healing, that you would just reach out to the Lord tonight and say, Lord, touch me and heal me. Remove that anger, bitterness, and hatred, and fill me up with your love, your forgiveness, your unconditional love, and the Lord will do it. You keep asking. You keep asking. Fill me up with the Holy Spirit, and he will do it. And Lord, we just pray right now that thousands and thousands of men and women will come to their senses this very day and escape from the trap of the enemy who has taken them captive to do his will. Lord, you can set them free. You can break the strongholds. You can break the chains of bondages. You can open their spiritual eyes to see the truth, and the truth is going to set them free. And we just praise you and thank you that we know there are prodigals that are writing us now and saying, I need to come home. I've made a mess. I've married somebody else. I know I should never have done it. How do I get out of this situation? Lord, show them the way of escape. Show them that they can get out of those sinful, adulterous relationships and come home. Come home now, Lord Jesus. Bring them home, and we will love them unconditionally. We'll forgive them each and every day, and we'll trust you to change them to be the men and women of God they need to be in your perfect timing. And we just give you the praise and the glory of what you're going to do and are doing. And we thank you, Father, that you believe in marriage restoration. And thank you, Father, you are the deliverer and the healer. And thank you, Father, you're Jehovah Jireh. And you're going to provide for these people, these men and women who don't have jobs, that are looking for jobs, that need financial miracles. You're going to pay the bills and show them how to do it. You're going to send people to provide them the bread they need on the table tonight. Lord, you are going to be all we need. And Lord, you just got to speak to their... speak to the Lord, your request, and keep praying and believing and waiting. The Lord will provide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Now, Bob has always come back on and has us close, and he opens up everybody. Are you going to do that, honey, tonight?
Yeah, we started it on Good Friday, and it's a whim, and it's kind of become a tradition. that we all pray the Lord's Prayer together. And you're going to hear babies crying and dogs barking and all the noise out of 100 homes. But we're going to do that as our final way of closing. So I want to say goodbye to you, and God bless you. And Ben, Chris, and Martina, thank you so much for being our guests today.
And
my
Beverly,
pleasure.
Eddie, we appreciate them being the prayer warriors for us today in our home. We love you all.
Okay. You want to go ahead and start, Sherman?
Yes. Our Father.
If we can help you in any way, we invite you to visit the website of Rejoice Marriage Ministries at www.rejoiceministries.org. Thanks for joining us today as we proclaim that God heals hurting marriages.